Hi, welcome back to Group Chat. We took a little break to do all this cool stuff that you see in the room and to give you some surprises. I'm Bentley, and I can't even tell you how excited I am. You're going to hear me say that a lot because Naila Ansari Cotillo, you know her from the chat, but she's my sidekick today. What am I talking about? It's like cold.
My sidekick vibes here today this morning.
I should be your sidekick. And you love him. You asked about him. We referenced him repeatedly in group chat when he wasn't even here. Charles is back. He's here to keep us in line. So
I'm here to make sure the kids are in order.
The voice.
He's actually in the room with us now because apparently we needed that. And I'm excited because we also have Alexa Zappia here today.
Hi, guys.
And you know Alexa from being on group chat. And just to remind you, she is an award-winning casting producer for multiple networks, including ABC, The Food Network, HGTV, Peacock Prime, Netflix. And what's going to be interesting to talk to her about today as we get into our Valentine's episode is her role in casting shows like The Bachelor.
That's what I'm excited for. I'm trying to get the tea from Alexa.
Bachelor Nation, rise up. Let's do it.
So we're going to start every episode with a little thing that we like to call, Charles is going to lead it. Charles, what's it called?
It is called State of the Scroll.
State of the Scroll. That's me in the middle of the night. Just scrolling.
Yes, this will be a rapid fire of things that have been in our chat. The three of our nice little chat. So unfortunately, we do have to start on a somber note. Yesterday, news came out that James Vanderbeek, best known for his role in Dawson Creek and Varsity Blue, had died at the age of 48. Back in 2024, he did reveal that he was battling stage 3 cancer. At this moment, they do not have the cause of death, but most people are leaning that it was cancer. Catherine O'Hara, who passed away January 30th, her cause of death was revealed as she was dealing with a form of rectal cancer, but she had pulmonary embolism. So she was best known for her roles in Schitt's Creek, Beetlejuice, and my favorite, Home Alone. Next up, into some music. Naila, I know you might roll your eyes at this one. Britney Spears sells her ownership share of her music catalog to Primary Wave. That seems to be a trend that's going around. A lot of artists are selling their catalogs away. And a growing list of artists are leaving a talent agency, Westmere Group. The most notable artist to leave was most recently Chappell Roan. Thoughts on that?
Britney's trying to get her life, so, you know, I don't know if it's connected with the other artists, but I think Britney is trying to, she got out of her conservatorship and still acting up, and so I think maybe she's trying to get, you know, get some of those funds back so she can live her best life. Also, I mean, Justin Bieber recently did it too, so I think a lot of artists are trying to maybe kind of manage, is it worth keeping, you know, all that publishing, or is it, you know, best to kind of figure it out and invest elsewhere?
Yeah, because I think now with streaming and royalties just being up in the air, like, they're probably just trying to figure out, is it this the time to sell? Because who knows what that's going to look like.
It's like the stock market. Right? Yeah. You're like, what's the time? Right. So it's like, okay, well, if you're going to do it and hop on that wave, a lot of people are doing it. You're like, oh, I'll just be one and the same and hop on with them.
And especially if Britney's, I think she all of a sudden had control of her finances.
and knives.
But listen, you know, we all did it. When you got your first job, you were like, okay, I'm going to go all this money. Yeah. So
when you were like, it's probably like $500, but to you, it was like, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're like, I can do it.
Yeah. So I think that's part of it too. Yeah. And I mean, the Wasserman situation and being in the Epstein files, I mean, they just removed off their website their whole roster of artists because I think they're worried that people are going to I don't know, cancel them. And yeah. So there are artists that are leaving, but I think it's easy for Chapel Roan to get out of her contract because she is Chapel Roan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think some of the smaller artists right now are struggling because they don't have the means to break the contract. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it develops. Yeah, who leaves, who stays, who can get out, who can't get out.
Yeah, because it's not an easy situation.
No.
And also to another dark moment, the latest on the Nancy.
I can't stop with this.
It feels like are literally watching a Netflix crime show.
It is.
I can't stop.
In real life, it's sad. It's one of those things, but in perspective, that it's real life. You know, it seems like it's fiction, but like Savannah, I know she's been on with her siblings just like trying to fight like for your mom. And then you don't think about elders. Like a lot of times you think of kidnapping as, you know, children, you know, women, and, you know, with the Epstein Files and all of that stuff going on, like everybody's mindset is in one place. And then you hear about this 84-year-old woman.
Yeah.
It's sad.
And the latest news is that the FBI is seeking videos from two certain dates. Those dates will look like they are from the past 2 days from last month. It's very, let's see, we have January 11th. They want to know if anybody has any footage around that time, and January 31st.
Are they still thinking the son-in-law?
Yeah.
I heard
that. And then they said that it's the son-in-law's bandmate because they looked at, I mean, this is conspiracy, obviously. Mm-hmm. Nothing is for sure yet, but they looked at pictures of the son-in-law and then also, because he's in a band or something like that, and the bandmate face matches that of the guy underneath the mask. So they don't know if it's that.
Well, just how Alexa is describing this, it is like watching Dateline. Are we all crime experts now?
Like I don't, first of all, I'm like Real Housewives only. All of a sudden I've turned into like Nancy Drew. Like right. I don't understand what's happening, but I can't, it's all over my TikTok. Like I'm I'm so invested. I've never been like this.
Yeah.
But it is the craziest story.
Yeah.
And I'm borderline obsessed to figure it out. And I have no authority to be doing that. But like,
I think everyone is, and everyone's trying to help as much as they can. I think they have 4,000 tips or something like that once the video
They found
went
a
out.
Glove this morning, and they found that backpack that guy was wearing in the Ring footage or the Nest footage, whatever, was bought from Walmart. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it. I guess look through Walmart and look at where that was bought, when that was bought, who bought it in the Tucson area within the last XYZ number of time. But like, what if he didn't get it in the, like, a month? What if he had that from 2 years ago, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
and this is all over Bitcoin. That's the
literally over, it's over Bitcoin.
And that's, it's
and she
so
said,
sad.
Like, we're willing to pay if you can prove she's alive.
Right. And is that, wait, and then I was trying, kind of, is the son-in-law and the daughter still together?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about.
So, I'm like, what
too.
Is like, so what's the background on that? Come on, Alexa.
Yeah, no, that I know. My skills are fine. But the other thing that is confusing to me is that it has gone all this time without the Ring camera footage up until 2 days ago being released. I know they said they couldn't access it because it has to be in the cloud
with the investigation, because they were like, well, we don't want people involved too soon. But when they put it out, it's really because they really don't have information and they're trying to get information they can't find. Yeah. Anything, but then it seems like it's too late. I don't know. That's 48 hours. Remember, like they, you know, that's.
It's so scary.
I mean, my Ring camera is never charged in the one area that I need it the most because it's solar powered and
sun. Here in Buffalo, it's no sun. Yeah.
So, I mean, not that I'm making excuses, but I wonder.
Well, he pulled the Ring camera off. The whole thing is crazy. And he dangled flowers in front of it to like cover the flower, to cover the camera. And it's like,
but you have to still see you to cover it first.
Right. Like, I literally don't understand.
I guess I'm surprised that they haven't found anything yet, or maybe 100%. They're just not telling us.
And the other thing that is weird to me is, why is a ransom note going to TMZ? Like, why are you sending us a TMZ of all places? That is so odd to me.
Well, yeah. Coverage, I mean, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, there's conspiracies that it was because Savannah, the daughter, had interviewed, you know, the Epstein victims.
Saw that.
And survivors, the first, you know, what is it? Well, I guess she was maybe one of the first interviews years ago. But I think that one is poo-pooed since the son-in-law came in. But still, it's absolutely insane.
It's been, what, almost like 2 weeks at this point.
Yeah, which is a scary timeline. Because then once you learn, you know, you lose that time, it's hard to get a lot of that evidence back.
For sure.
We'll stay on that.
And pretty much what everybody seems to be talking about outside of all this stuff is the big game. Well, the not so big game. But everybody seems to be talking about the halftime performance of Bad Bunny, which pretty much was deemed a love letter to Puerto Rico. A lot of cultural elements. Some people have had voiced their thoughts on it. So what do your guys take away from the Bad Bunny halftime performance?
I've been wanting, you know, everybody knows Nayla from the show, but Nayla is a professor at Buff State in Black Studies and Performance, an award-winning choreographer. So I remember watching it and saying, I want to know what Nayla has to say about this because I was in love.
Yes, it was incredible. I mean, the storytelling and the historical background of Puerto Rico, but also the Caribbean islands and the Americas and what does that mean to be American was amazing. The dances, I mean, you saw Afro-Caribbean dances, but you saw dances that people would know from like the Orishas and the Yoruba culture, which is so intertwined. And you know, the funny part of it is like, this is not American. It's like, okay, again, geography is also problematic. That came up a lot. I was like, a lot of people don't know their geography. But also, it's like, he's American. Like, we, part of Puerto Rico is part of America. We are that. They are us. Like, you know, so the notion of people trying to be like, I'm going to go watch Kid Rock was crazy to me because that was a hot mess. They couldn't even sync that together. So I don't even know how people even watched all that bad lip syncing that was happening with that. But yeah, it was incredible. The historical context of it in terms of like going up into the poles, like people weren't really sure what that was, but their, you know, their electricity was out when they had those storms, and you know, people weren't, they went up on their own to take care of their own country and their island and to make sure that they had what they needed. So in terms of that, the fight, the resilience that Puerto Ricans have had, but also, you know, so many of the other Caribbean and Latin communities.
Charles, so speaking of the people that said that they're not going to watch the halftime performance, can you give us a number on that, a stat on how many people did watch it?
128.2 million people watched that. It is the second most viewed halftime performance next to Kendrick Lamar.
That's amazing. I literally didn't watch it. I could care less about the Seahawks or the Patriots because the Bills weren't in. I was still a little salty about that, you know, and everything 100%. That was going on with that. So I just tuned in for Bad Bunny.
That's it.
And Bad Bunny lived up to their expectations, to my expectations for sure. But I think it, you know, showed a lot of people how much culture means to us and what that is, you know, across the globe and how that important that is to us as Americans.
Yeah.
I was amazed at the choreography, but I remember thinking the grass, I felt like I was there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Those were people.
And then there were people. Yes. I'm like, hold up. Yeah. I was obsessed with that for
three days watching
videos of those people.
But you know the best part was? It was my man Ricky Martin in that little waist trainer. Oh my goodness. They pulled up Ricky Martin and he was in a waist trainer sitting down like an abuelo. I said, this is it. I'm done. That's it. That was the performance. The flag, and then the flags, just like, I just almost wanted to like tear up when all the different flags came out. And you know, he said, God bless America, and together we're American. But it was amazing. But Ricky Martin takes the cake for me.
Well, took the cake for me was the actual wedding.
Which I thought was fake until I saw.
I did too. I was
news.
Like, oh, this is, you know.
I thought they were actors. Like, I was like, oh, okay.
And then next thing you know, it's an actual wedding.
It's a legit wedding.
They're from Ontario, California. They actually sent Bad Bunny an invitation. They was just like, hey, let's just see what happens. And his team got back to them and said, let's fly you in for the Super Bowl. So,
that's crazy.
That's a moment that will never pass.
No. Yeah.
But, and here we thought they were actors.
Right.
They did a great job.
They did a great job.
I mean.
But yeah, they got that choreo tight.
We have to keep in mind that next year's big game falls on Valentine's Day.
Well, good luck,
friends. Well, that's, yeah. I don't know if they might have to.
Go Bills, baby.
Switch, yeah.
Yeah, if the Bills are in it, that's another story.
This city will flip
that's,
over. Yeah.
Oh, we will
are
flip
you
over
kidding?
With love.
Yeah, with love.
With love. Well, on that theme of love, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about Valentine's Day and our obsession with love in reality TV, in media, our obsession with the chase and breakups, and we'll also get into heated rivalry. That's next on Group Chat.
Public media starts here, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our city halls, where decisions meet real life. BTPM NPR's local reporters are asking the questions that matter, listening to the people affected, and explaining what it all means for our region.
There's a lot of poor record keeping. There are records that lists that don't reconcile with other lists. There's a lot of gasoline that's being used that isn't properly accounted for. And there are a lot of people with take-home vehicles.
That's Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. He's outlining just a few of the issues his office found when conducting an audit of the county's vehicle fleet.
From paper trails to public impact, this is journalism that stays with the story and with the community it serves. Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR produces journalism with depth, care, and purpose. This is Public Media.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
Calling all storytellers in kindergarten through third grade. The Buffalo Toronto Public Media PBS Kids Writers Contest is back. Here are the details for parents, caregivers, and educators. Kid writers from Western New York and Southern Ontario can send us their stories until March 31st for a chance to win prizes and be featured in a celebration live streamed from our studios. Don't wait. Visit btpm.org/writerscontest to submit your entry today.
Joining the chat again here on Group Chat, and we have some new members added to the chat.
Welcome to the chat.
Our Valentine's episode, and love happens in a lot of ways. You can be anti-love, pro-love. You can be self-care is love. Friendships are love. So all welcome here. Even if you're not in a relationship, there's lots of things to talk about. And one of those being, since we are a pop culture show, our obsession with love, love stories, the chase, the breakup, and none other, one of the best people to talk about that is Alexa Zappia.
Hello, my
back
friend.
In the house.
Woo! Back in the house. Let's go.
I mean, did it all pretty much start with The Bachelor? You've casted for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like The Bachelor was like the start of love shows. I could be wrong, but we're going into our 30th season.
It's been 30 years already?
30 seasons, yeah. 30 seasons. Taylor Frankie Paul is the 30th, like, season.
So what is our obsession and the audience obsession with love?
Okay, I was thinking about this when you asked me this earlier. Every, like, Disney fairy tale, most of them ends up in love. So we grow up starting at a young age, like fantasizing about what that is, mm-hmm. right? Like Cinderella, like that whole moment. So why not carry that to screen and obsess with it even more as adults, except have wine with it if you're watching The Bachelor, and it makes it even more enjoyable. So I think it's like watching, whether you're single, you're married, you're dating, whatever it is, like you're watching someone else's love unfold on screen and you get invested, and it's like, I want to be like part of that, like I want to, you know, be in their wedding, I want, and you're like, I don't even know these people, but like, like what am I doing? But you know, it really stems from a young age of how society fantasizes love and mm-hmm. how that's always something that we achieve.
And I have to introduce Andy because Andy has joined
the chat. Hey, Andy has the best earrings, by the way.
What?
What are you talking
about?
With
the coke earrings called
Bad Earrings. Shout out to my best friend.
Yeah. Andy Crum is Mr. Mocktail and the... You're in charge. You created Sober 1-6.
Yes.
So you have done and continue to do a lot of events that are sort of like alternative events to what you're used to seeing, but mm-hmm. also you have some events coming up surrounding love.
Yes.
And we also have you here to talk about Heated Rivalry, which we will get into.
Oh,
but
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I just started. Yes.
We're just getting going. Yeah. You know, Alexa talking about love and places for that. What about, we are also a little obsessed with the drama,
yes.
right?
Yes. Oh, well, I was going to say, because the messiness is the best part of the yeah. Bachelor. Who's going to get it? Who's going to get the boo at the end?
Yeah. It's always the chase, right? Again, you get invested in these people. And if your person, you know, doesn't get a rose, you're like, all hell breaks loose in your mind, right? Because you're rooting for them. But I think when it comes down to like casting too, it's like, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those people that are relatable on screen mm-hmm. in all sorts of diversity, right? So, yeah.
Well, that being the case, this is my audition tape for the first gay Bachelor.
I mean, Alexa's got some pull there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, very single.
Yeah. let's make
Andy
it work.
Single.
Single and ready to mingle. Yes. Let's okay, make
let's
it work.
Group
chat edition.
Can let's you go. Imagine?
The first Buffalo Bachelor.
Oh, that would be a mess. That's a whole show. Let's Buffalo Bachelor.
So
could you imagine?
That would be the craziest.
We are the best and most fun matchmakers.
People don't know drama.
They do not. And then have it happen with a Bills game and they lost during an episode of that was
that. First of all, that I feel is like a setting that any relationship should be put in. Like how you react when the Bills lose says a lot about your relationship.
It's the same across the board. Yeah. You, straight, gay, whatever. Yes. It's the same.
You gotta go.
It's the same.
If you don't jump through Bills. A table and cry when the Bills yeah. lose, like I can't deal
I get
with you.
Scared.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done. What are we even doing here?
And Andy, as we were talking about representation and casting and shows, that's sort of what you modeled your business after,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, Sober 1-6 is an inclusive events company. So it started off to give a space for people to be themselves and authentically themselves and also not feel pressure to drink mm-hmm. when they go out. And then it just kind of over the last 3 years, so we're coming up on 3 years, it morphed into basically just everyone feeling very comfortable and inclusive and just the fully authentically themselves. And it just, I want to represent different types of people, different groups, and just be a place of like the Bad Bunny performance where it was just like spewing joy and mm-hmm. celebrating life and love and culture. That's exactly like how I want to operate Sober 1-6.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That. Yeah.
And is that part of the stories that we're seeing, like just feeling, even if you're doing it from home, just feeling comfortable and seeing stories and being able to react in your own way to some of these love stories? And as we know, one of the most watched shows right now, Heated Rivalry. Yeah. Alexa, yeah. I mean, you are reality TV focused. What are some of the other shows that you've cast? I can't.
Dating or non or both?
Both.
So obviously the whole Bachelor franchise, Bachelor, Bachelorette, Golden Bachelor, Squid Game, The Challenge. I've done multiple seasons of that. Yeah. Fear Factor, Million Dollar Secret, which is on Netflix. What else? Worst Cooks in America, The Hustler, Don't Forget the Lyrics, Big Brother Canada. Trying to think what else.
I mean, that's
Property Brothers.
Yeah.
Property Brothers.
That was a good one.
Wow, so what a resume.
Thank you.
But I feel like even though Heated Rivalry is a drama, it also could be a reality
show. Everyone is saying I have to watch this. People from Spin are obsessed with this.
It's really good. And I was before we came on, I was like, I don't even know that this is my vibe.
Yeah.
But when like one of my mentors calls me, he's 75 and he's a therapist, he's like, oh girl, I was watching Heated Therapists. You have to turn it on. And so I started watching. It's really, the acting is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's just like the simplest like story. I feel like it's just like we get a peek into like their story, but mm-hmm. it's like so complex because it's also just like their emotions, and yeah. it's just like nothing crazy happens. There's no like yeah. crazy dips or anything. It's just a nice story.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, a lot of people can relate to it, I think is why people,
I have to watch. It's on my list of 5,000 yeah. other oh, things yeah. I have yeah. to watch.
I know,
but it's on my list.
Well, and you know, it's in a different bucket.
Oh, like, yeah. I was not even interested. At first, I was like, because I would watch The Pit. And so it was like always Heat Arrival in The Pit, one yeah. and two on HBO. And I'm like, I just saw like hockey and it was like, I was like, I'm like, I'm good. I'm not, yeah. I'm not really yeah. going to watch this. And then I just kept getting people from literally all like different generations, from 70s to like 20-year-olds. Like my students were like, oh, Heat Arrival is so good. And then it was like my 75-year-old mentor that was like, you got to watch this. I'm like, okay, if we're watching from 20 to 75, yeah. I got to watch it. And it was really, I mean, I got kind of hooked to me. I was like, what's happening here? Yeah. And then when I realized it's like this, you know, this gay couple that kind of comes together, but they're like in secret. And I'm like, oh, how is it? I was like, yeah. and they play hockey.
That's and
like
their rivals. Like,
yeah. yes.
And they're rivals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the hockey is in the background, which yes, I love. It is. I love that it's just like a little spurts, but it's like their main story is them, I love.
Which is important, because do you think this is going to open up more conversations about relationships in sports? Because it,
absolutely. I think so.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because you realize has. That when I started watching, I was like, oh, I feel like a whole lot of people live like this.
I mean, the yeah. statistics.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. mean,
there's no chance that there's no gay people. In
oh yeah, well, yeah. yeah. But it's like the it's that like having to feel like you have to hide because yeah. you have to be so masculine. And yeah, I think this like, is opening that up.
What is someone going to think? What is the world going to think? Am I going to lose opportunities for yeah, this? Right. And mm-hmm. which has happened. Yeah. So this is like the NHL has commented on it, and like there's just like it's crazy how like many yeah. like there's the retired NHL player who's coming out. You know, and it's just, it's really, really cool to see.
Well, especially in hockey, because it's considered such a masculine yeah. Yeah. sport. There's fighting, there's whatever you want to stereotype as masculine.
Mm-hmm. I went and maybe wouldn't have crossed the barrier mm-hmm. yeah. as much.
I agree with that. When I watched yeah. it, I was more invested than I thought I would. Like right yeah. at hello, like even you like meet the parents of like one of the, like, you're yeah. like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Because it's like, oh, his parents don't even look like they're even remotely interested in that conversation yeah. with their son. But it's the emotional part that you tap into because mm-hmm. you aren't used to seeing. I think for me, you're not used to seeing men being that vulnerable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I like, yeah. I attach to the story because you see yourself in it, in these relationships, you know, that people just go through in life. And so that I think that's like a perfect way to pinpoint like yeah. why I think women
and
are
and it also was like it moved so fast in the beginning, like the time jumps and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. it's like I feel like they said so little in those like first couple yeah. episodes mm-hmm. but it said so much at the same time. So like what they chose to put in, I just feel like was like perfect mm-hmm. that like it wrapped the whole story. Like, you didn't really need to know that much to, like, know that much.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Because at hello, you're like, ooh, what's going
yeah,
on
I'm
here?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, like, we get it.
So there's a lot of connection to Hamilton, Ontario. Has anybody visited
any of
you?
I thought you were thinking Hamilton.
Here.
I was like, oh, I missed that one.
Did not know where you were going.
Now my brain is spinning at that.
We all were just did not know where you were.
Yeah. What am I going to have to lie about? Yeah. Hamilton, I haven't seen that.
I should have prefaced that with Canada.
No, yeah, but I haven't seen that too.
Yeah, like there's different locations.
I think that's where they filmed.
Yeah, yeah. There's filming locations.
So close, I'm going to go there.
Yeah, you're going to go there now. Yeah. So you have an event coming up, a Heated Rivalry event coming up.
Yeah, so unfortunately it's sold out.
Oh, I was just like,
I
mean, good for
you.
You
all can come. So we're doing the Heated Rivalry Experience. So we have a 7-foot projector screen and we're watching the episodes. And before each episode, we do a drag performance by Nalea Slay. And then Willa DeWisp was also there. And then myself and comedian Chelsea May host it. So we just like say funny things and get the crowd like kind of warmed up. And then, we watch the episode. And it's really interesting to see like people that watch it for the first time there with a group of people. And then people that are rewatching it. But it is just so... It's so fun to be in a room with like super fans.
Yeah.
Like
someone was talking about this event at Spin the other day.
Really?
I was just gonna say, I
like,
know
literally, and she's like in her 70s.
That's why it's sold. That's why it's sold
she's
out.
Going.
Alexa, oh the girls gosh, are out. Yes.
Yeah, no, she's
oh my God,
going.
There was like older women there, and I was like, you're gonna have a good time.
She's very excited for this. Oh, yeah. I'll say that.
I was gonna ask you, Alexa, when are you planning a heated rivalry spin class? Because
I mean, ooh, actually, because
oh my gosh,
of
and they do it in the show.
Do they?
Yeah. For like,
well, I didn't watch. No, this I know. Show, but Robin again. Shout out Robin. We had a love/anti-love red versus black spin class last night, which all the way vibes were so amazing.
I love that.
And our arm song, Bentley would know, our arm song, Robin suggested a song from Heated Rivalry. So we're kind of already almost there. But
and Robin's the instructor.
No, Robin's not the instructor. Robin is a queen. She is in her
She's royalty.
Early to mid 70s and rocks like with all of us. And every week, I just love her. No, Lynn is the instructor.
Okay.
But
and then Robin's going to Heated Rivalry.
Yeah, she pulled me aside the other day. She came to me and she goes, Alexa, I thought something happened. She was like, did you watch Heated Rivalry? And I was like, no, I haven't jumped on that background. I will get there. She's like, and I have to go to the event. And I'm like, there's an event? Like, what is that? Like, what is going on right now? But, oh my God.
Well, we are going to be doing, this Saturday, we're going to be doing basically Heated Rivalry live. So it's at Electric City. It's called Burlesque. It's six hunky men from New York City doing burlesque. That we're like marketing it as Heated Rivalry Live because they do like a Heated Rivalry show in New York City.
Uh-huh. Wait, that's so
and they're like, it's going to be really great. It's going to be like sexy, but it's also going to be like campy and fun.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really, really
as Alexa just randomly shows up and is like scoping out.
Oh. With Robin.
Cast. Yeah, no. This is the group to cast, let me tell you.
Any lead, send them.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, let's go.
Same.
Same. So you have Black Bachelor if they don't get married over there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we had one gay bachelor, right?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you do Golden Bachelor as well.
I do. Golden, regular, and then Bachelorette.
When you are casting for these roles, you know, as we've been talking about great actors that might be gay or straight, it doesn't matter because if they can play the role well. But you're casting real people for these roles.
Yeah.
So in that storyline of wanting people to be like sucked into the narrative, what are the things you look for in love story?
I'm going to literally sound like a Bachelor Nation girly, but it's true that you're in it for the right reason. I was like, as soon as it was coming out of my mouth,
that's
like
everybody's answer
get,
now when they come in for their interviews. It's like, I'm just here for the right,
right reasons.
Can I steal you for a second? Yeah.
I love it so much. No, so that, number one. And number two, just that, like, you're authentic, right? Like, if you show up, I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. But if you show up like, okay, I'm interviewing with the producer at The Bachelor and da-da-da-da-da, and you're just not yourself, like, we can sense that.
Yeah,
so the biggest thing, the biggest thing, my suggestion is just show up for the right reasons and just unapologetically you're fine. You're absolutely fine. And it might not be this dating show or this competition show that you get on, but one thing I can certainly be certain of is that if you stop after one closed door, you definitely will not, be on. But if you just take every opportunity to be like, okay, guys, this is me. Love me, hate me, this is me. We'll find a spot for you. It might not be the first thing that you connect with me for, but it will be something. So be it, for the right reasons.
Andy's like, eyes
I'm taking notes.
I'll give you my number, and then we will. Yeah, yes, and then we'll do a. That's what we should do, Bentley. Why are we not doing this? A matchmaking session here at Group Chat.
Oh, we should,
Bentley. What?
I'm.
Charles is like, get her off
Charles.
The set.
Charles is like, the next please. One.
Yeah, he's like,
Charles
no.
is like, why did we have this producer here? that's what you should do.
We need to.
We could be in charge of it.
We could be in charge of it. We could pick the people. Because I can see toxicity from a mile away. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'll say
Andy gets in the hot seat.
Yeah.
Andy's in the hot seat.
And then the other person is the hot seat. I have to ask them questions.
Our main character.
Andy's the main.
You're the bachelor.
Andy is main boots. Andy is saying
they're
what?
Trying to get to me. Yes. Right.
I think we should interview it. If we could be like, nope, Bentley, we
you're
go.
Not
nope.
right for each other.
And then Alexa could call him in.
Yeah.
Oh, I love like, this idea.
Like,
oh,
why
you
are we
are
doing...
in casting. You are a producer.
We're doing this. Sorry, Charles, you're supposed to be keeping us under control. Like, we're
Charles is
adding
just
new
like,
segments
I don't
to the
know.
Show.
No, I love this. And I love that we can be.
Oh, we can do it.
Like, oh, nope. This is good.
Oh, I'm going to look at you. I'm set.
Come on.
No.
I'll be like,
next. It's say, Alexa, next. Yeah. Next one.
Next one, please. You're not a fit. Not what you were looking for. No, but I feel like. Why are we not helping the population that you said needs
I
to be helped?
I put it out on Instagram. I even made a little slide that said, want to go on a date? This is what I'm looking for.
Matchmaker.
Because I'm done with the apps.
Oh, yeah, because Grindr is a mess. Because one of my roommates was on Grindr when it first came out, and I had to be like, look, we can't be having all these extra roommates I don't know about. We're going to have to figure out a different way.
We need
some substance. We need some substance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, that's our Valentine's Day proclamation now that we are going to do this. We're going to make it happen.
First.
So, Andy, free up your schedule.
Andy's like, what schedule?
Where are your cold bottle earrings, Andy?
Yeah. You're like, what schedule? I don't know her.
Andy's going to stick around because coming up, we're going to talk about the trend in Valentine's Day gifts this year of experiences and different things to do. And we're bringing on celebrity chef Camille Lacraire, and he's going to talk about some of the things that he does, including cooking classes. So don't go anywhere. That's next on Group Chat.
Trust doesn't happen by accident. It's built through careful reporting, verified facts, and respect for the audience. BTPM NPR's local journalists take the time to get it right, covering the issues shaping Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Immigration consultants like Tatiana Cabrera say they're seeing more interest in people coming to Canada, but warn there are still many hurdles to overcome.
It's not sort of a free-for-all type of an application, but I think it's still worth attempting for many people who see that they have either parent, grandparent, great-grandparent who may have been born in Canada.
UPD responded to a reported serious concern based on credible information and followed established police procedures. According to court filings from police, the students only had a photo to identify the person who made the threats.
News without spin, context without noise. This is Public Media.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, Public Media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
I'm Sarah Jane, and I'm on a mission to explore the wonders right in our own backyard with Compact Science, a YouTube series from BTPM PBS and the Buffalo Museum of Science. Together, we'll explore the physics of grain elevators, discover how Niagara Falls powers millions of homes, and learn how wings are science on a plate. If you're curious about the world around you, there's a lot to explore, and Compact Science will be your guide. Find us on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
Welcome back to the chat. We have some new members added to the group chat today, but as you know, Nayila Ansari-Cotillo is my, we're, we're not saying like co-hosts.
We're
like
sidekicking.
Like, yeah,
side-kicking.
Friends today. And Andy Crum is still here from Sober 16, also known as Mr. Mocktail. Yes. And we're joined by celebrity chef. I'm going to call you celebrity chef. Is that okay? Camille Lockner, who is here to talk about, well, actually, whatever you want to talk about, Camille. But we have Camille here because there is a trend.
Mm-hmm.
This year in experiences mm-hmm. for Valentine's Day, and I know you offer
okay. yes.
cooking classes.
I do.
And that's one of the big trends.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also like a huge fan of Mocktail, sober for almost 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats. Yeah.
So Andy,
awesome.
Look.
See, I knew. Yeah. I knew.
We can definitely.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I think, the show is amazing.
Camille, yeah. I don't think Camille's doing The Bachelor, but
yeah.
But you know, well,
so he might definitely up for it. Yes. I went to I just came back from New York City this past weekend, and the game on the Mocktails are really like so up to like it's a new trend, you know, and yeah. I love it.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely love it.
Awesome.
So I definitely want to hit
connect.
You up.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh,
definitely.
That's awesome.
You can make the fool.
It's an experience.
It's hey,
it's an experience.
It's an experience.
We made a match. We made
we
a match.
We did. Oh, so here's the thing. These things don't happen in a vacuum. I knew that these two. Right. I just knew.
Placed us together.
No, but I think that both of these things are tied together mm-hmm. because people's habits are changing.
Mm-hmm.
They're more focusing on their health and looking for just different spaces
right.
to do things.
Right.
And it's not always about material things. It's more about like
experiences.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that's where you're like just confirming, you know, with experiences, it's like you're focusing on other things and piggyback on doing the classes. So I'm doing 5 classes this weekend. So I will be seeing almost over 65 guests
wow.
within 72 hours, plus a private dinners by the end of Sunday night for Mardi Gras. So I'll be doing jambalaya and other fun stuff, New Orleans style. And so what can I say about the classes? One thing that I've started it like 6 months ago, it's a different experience and it's cook and dine. Mm. So it takes place instead of like being a guest and then having private dinners and have a private chef coming to your house. You come to me, you bring your own wines. You can bring also your own mocktails and you're going to learn how to make a filet mignon and then you're going to learn how to make a chocolate mousse. And then this is probably a 2.5 to 3 hours. We don't kick you out of the doors, you know. And then the guests can mingle around the table at the end. We dim the light and then they get to trade stories and then kind of just learn about each other. I like that dynamic. It's one format. And then there's always the most classic format because I'm really known for the macaron.
Yeah.
And the macaron's going to
be...
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out the name. I was like, you know that French dessert?
Yeah.
Like, he's really famous for this cookie.
Macaron.
And I'm like,
ooh, I love it.
Macaron.
Macaron.
If it was just for the love of producing classes, I could probably rely on just croissant classes, baking classes, and macarons. I would probably be still fine with it. Every time I put a croissant class, it's sold out probably within like the next 6 days.
Wow.
It's like yeah. it's already sold out. So it's all almost like selfishness to just like, okay, it's like I want to diversify and also I want to see familiar faces. Because
yeah.
what I've started to see is a pattern is like I start to see is like some guests who came for 5-6 classes, bring a loved one, sometimes by themselves, sometimes sending their loved one and says like, you do the filet mignon, I'll do that one. And it's funny because it's like you see that dynamic. And this is what I like is seeing guests, you know, coming back.
But, you know, all the things you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
what makes food such a love language? Whether it's romantic love, friendship, self-love, what is it about food?
Because there's different language through it, and I redefined for my own self, even going back to New York City and in a city that I used to live and enjoy the energy, the vibes. I'm also a guest, and then trying the food at Idomaki, I've tried, you know, it's like different restaurants. I eat probably at 6-7 different places between Friday and Sunday. Like I was just eating all the time, eating. And I enjoy that, you know, I enjoy the pleasure also of tasting the food.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have also the making the food. So sometimes you transfer and you're like, I tried that, but I kind of want to learn how to make it. And then sometimes the guest says like, I used to go to Paris and then I eat those macarons. Then I saw you were offering a macaron classes. And I was like, I would love to learn how to make those macarons. I really enjoy, you know, my experience in Paris. And then that love language brings, you know, it's like, okay, I want to do a classes, but I don't want to go by myself.
and I want to bring someone. Yeah. And then that someone is whereas like you kind of just gonna go through the struggle if there is a struggle together, and then you're gonna go through the success too, and then you're gonna eat, and then you're gonna take pride into doing it because it's pride too. Food is. I was telling that to someone over the weekend. We're making potion. You're mixing things together. Yeah. And then, you know, it's like you just come up, same for you, you know, it's like, you know, doing mocktail. It's just you're creating something and at the end you have a result. And I find that, you know, it's like full of purpose. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it's like it's connecting and then it's doing something else. When I see it's like my guests who's coming, a lot of them are nurses, a lot of them, you know, work in offices, and then they kind of just want to outsource something that kind of just going to unplug them from their reality. And then in my reality, you know, it's like, do I get oversaturated of food? Probably at the kitchen studio at my house. I still do, you know, it's like the food, either if it's for the children's or is there for myself. I mixed a little ceviche because this is my death row meal. I can talk for hours about it, but you know,
I
you
like
connect.
Food is a love potion. When you said, when you said potion, I was like, oh, my.
That's
well,
a good one.
But, you know, Naila, you're a foodie. You cook. Mm-hmm. And that's a big, you do that with your boys too.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but I think to Camille's point with people coming in, it's like my relaxation. It's just something like it keeps me creative, gives me something to do. And also I can feed everybody at the same time. Everybody's happy. I can try something new because you get bored doing the same thing over and over and over again. So just going out and like classes or just like getting new recipes keeps me up, and then it keeps, you know, everyone just feeling good and eating well and happy.
Up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is something about being able to, I mean, I'm not claiming I'm a great cook. I know how to make certain things. I need to take some classes from Camille. but you do feel this sense of like providing.
Yes.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's like you're
it's
giving.
Like an accomplishment too. Like,
yeah.
It makes you feel like very good.
Andy, do you cook or are you just...
Sorry, I don't.
But Andy makes a mocktail.
There you go.
Okay.
No, but I love the experience of like going out. So I'm like a very good guest. I'm a very good consumer. So I like feeling like the atmosphere is really nice and it's comfortable and going out to socialize and those types of things.
Yeah.
So like, I get that side of it.
Yeah. Camille, you... studied and worked in Paris. You've basically worked at the most in the cities of food. So Paris, New York City. What makes French why is French a love language, and why do people so many people connect Paris to love besides the food?
Ooh.
The locks. Is that
locks.
So what's come to my mind is the literature, you know, the country. So it's the poetry, the drama. It's what's gonna be connecting, I think, to the food. The history, you know, is like when you see, is like Paris is like a museum. When I see New York City, it's a present. You know, we are all here to be present and then achieve goal presently. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's like when we go to Paris, it's like we're more there for the history and take a little bit more like, you know, it's like a step back and then take time. I don't say that the French people take a step back. They definitely is like smoke a cigarette, drink a coffee and go straight to work. But when you're a tourist, you experience it differently.
Right,
and I found that, you know, it's like, definitely the drama, the overdone, you know, it's like the burlesque and that's what is Paris. You know, you have the Pont des Arts and you got to do the lock. I enjoy being a tourist in between. It's like also everyone say, you know, it's like when people say like, oh, but it's very touristy. It's like, yeah, but you have to do the touristy. If it's the first time you go somewhere, you do the touristy. And that touristy is definitely the love for the food. And Paris, you know, it's like, is definitely, it's like where you do... not only the food, it's also the service. When you are at a cafe, you're facing the street. So you're next to your partners or your friends, and then you're facing the street. You're looking up, you're reading. You know, it's like it's the ambience, the experience. It's not just sitting at the tables and row. I mean, it's like talking for a big corporate like McDonald's, they even had to step up. And then if you go into a McDonald's in Europe, it looks like a fine dining, you know, it's like here, because it's like they have designers who design all the McDonald's. It's not just... I would not want to say a shooting place, but it's like where you're like, you know, it's like you're just grabbing your stuff and you just get your fix. It's also, it's like, you know, they have the Mac Cafe.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel that it's like, it's where is the experience and taking the time for your loved ones. I feel that the accent is just, it's not my fault. It's what it's been. But I always say it's like an accent in the other way.
It sounds good.
But if you go in Europe with an accent, you do also like sounds beautiful. You know, it's like someone who's like,
I've always heard people like, oh, I got an American accent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If someone say, you know, it's like something as like bonjour, and then kind of just like coming out of the pack with like something that, you know, is like very unusual to say in French, you're like, wow, it's like, that sounds cool. You know, it's like, yeah.
Even our short A sounds in Western New York. I lived in New York for a little while and I broke that because it's also an upstate.
It's also upstate, like Syracuse.
Mm-hmm. And I was here for a week back and I got it back.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example? I want to hear it.
Like bagels is always the one I say.
Group chat. It's like they call it the countrified A.
Yeah.
So it's just like a really, like, you don't elongate your
vowels.
It is.
It's the upstate Beverly Hills accent.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's weird. I went to school and like everyone always thought I was from like down south somewhere.
Yeah. Or the Midwest.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Vibes. Yeah. Chicago vibes.
So how have you brought that inspiration, the places that you've worked at and your travels to Buffalo?
Oh, how did I combine all of that together? you see Slam Dunk Millionaires. It's kind of like, you know, it's like, you gotta just like, you don't know all the answers, but experience is gonna just like, you know, it's like guide you like wherever is your place, and everyone has a purpose, and it can take time. It can take 5 years, 1 year, 1 day. And I feel that it's like, I'm just getting, you know, it's like to somewhere that I feel like, you know, it's like I'm hitting the spot and I feel very comfortable. But I also like get off of my comfort zone very quickly. You know, it's like I'm training for Ironman. But it's definitely is like, I feel that it's like, it's combining that together and then telling your stories. But as well also is like trading stories. And that is something that I was not doing before, is being a storyteller. But then the private dining slowly is like giving me the engagement where it's like I'm trading stories and I'm taking in, because you're doing it for so long. And then I'm saying that again with the classes, I need to diversify. And I need to outreach somewhere that I never been. And sometimes is the client, the guest, who's going to inspire me is the next step, you know. And you got to take that into account. And then when you're young, you may just like, you know, go straight ahead and like say, it's like, I'm going to sell my stories. It's like sell, you know, it's like. Mm-hmm. And then as you go, it's like, you're like, okay, it's like, you know, it's like, what if I'm interested, you know, it's like, what are you doing like for works, you know, it's like someone was mapping like all the roads for the shipments all around the world, and she was like telling me about her jobs, and I was like, I have thousand questions. Mm-hmm. And genuinely is like, I feel interested into them, and I'm starting to really like get a sense for my guests where I want to be having them engaging with what they know. Because that's so important.
Yeah.
Like they tell you, it's like, you know,
really,
it's like
a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we just made this connection with Sober 1-6 right here in this room.
You do your classes and go to Sober 1-6 right
after.
Yeah.
And that's
okay,
literally
so
what
Nayeel
I do
and I need to just we need to be like, not matchmakers, like connection.
I saw you actually on daytime.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I saw you on daytime.
We'll do a matchmaking episode.
My friend Chelsea.
Okay, so what have we learned today that we need to do next on group chat? We're gonna do the Buffalo Bachelor.
Buffalo Bachelor. Andy is the Bachelor.
Bachelor for Andy. And then we are doing
classes into mocktails.
I'm going to take classes to learn how to cook something. And then
I'm for the parties. I'm
and then we do a party.
I can
with
see
Camille
that.
And
Andy.
Andy.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
That's it. So we got everybody's Valentine's Day plan. And Heat Arrival, where you're sold out that event, but they can watch it on TV.
Oh yeah, we'll just put
time.
It in the background.
Well, yeah, there you go.
I mean, maybe we just need a bigger, the next time we just need a bigger venue.
I think so.
Yeah, because we got the Spin Girls coming out too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We have Alexa Spin Class.
This is great.
So yeah. Charles is this is the first time Charles, he's not yelling at us, but he's waving his hands at me. So he'll get more comfortable in the next episode. He'll just like pop on. So thank you. This has been the best episode back of group chat. So I'd like to thank producer Charles, who is back
Charles
in the room.
Back.
Nayula, you can thank people too because we're like, we're a pair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, Nayula, sorry.
And Bentley, because yeah. Bentley's the best.
Hungry now. Chef Camille and Andy Crum of Sober 1-6 and Mr. Mocktail himself. So thank you. Thank you to you. And we'll join you next week on Group Chat.